everyone, welcome to the Basement Game Dev Podcast. This is Tronster, and I have with me, as always, Brett.
Howdy.
And Brett and I, we have a guest today, Tim Talley.
How's it going?
Doing well, Tim. Tim, tell everyone a little bit about who you are, what you do, what you've done.
All right, yeah, my name is Timothy Talley. I've actually been in the industry for about 7 years. Before that, I was actually in government applications in games, where we were actually taking the Unreal Engine and building all sorts of really fun stuff for Nuclear Laboratory.
That's excellent, and that was like out on the West Coast area, right?
In the Southwest, yeah, in New Mexico for the Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Awesome. And Brett, you've had a change at work. Do you want to tell our listeners about what's been happening in your neck of the woods?
So I used to be a member of Day One Studios, and we were recently put into a strategic alliance with Wargaming.net, and I now work for Wargaming West.
So if there was one free-to-play game that I had to get on, and if for whatever reason I can't get on to LOL and,
Everybody
Joel.
Everybody should play World of Tanks.
World of Tanks. You know, and I got to say, we have some people at Firaxis who love World of Tanks, like Pete Murray.
Yep.
Yeah, Pete loves that game. So, it's definitely a fun game. Highly recommend everyone checks it out. But today, so we want to go and talk about the next generation. We've had DICE recently, and coming up very soon, next month, will be the Game Developers Conference, the big GDC in San Francisco. And a lot of the talk has been about the next-gen consoles, or what do we call them? Like, the 360 and the PlayStation 3 and the Wii were the next-gen. So is this the next-next-gen?
Well, I think the PS3 and the Xbox are now the current-gen, so the PS4 and the Xbox are now the next-gen again.
Okay, so the next-gen just means next one going up. All right, very good. And PlayStation 4 just got announced recently.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Wii U, which is out, which some people are saying counts or doesn't count for development for game players inside of this next-gen arena. And Sony announcing the PlayStation 4, and Microsoft, the rumors of something going on, but hasn't officially announced anything, as well as a bunch of other technologies coming out on the web and new people entering the console space. I've heard the term micro-console used before, or indie consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, before we dive into specific questions, like, what is your overall thought of the climate today for game developers, knowing that all of these different techs are coming up on the horizon?
One thing I noticed that with the release of the PlayStation 4 and what the rumored specs of the next Xbox are, they're very, very close. Sony's done away with very specific hardware and is now going more towards a traditional PC setup. And all the micro consoles are all kind of running on Android. It seems like the next generation, either be it the smaller consoles, are all competing with each other on very similar hardware, Tegras, or other ARM devices, or the PC and the high-end PS4, next Xbox, are all very similar in platforms. The next generation is really more software than it is hardware, and that's going to separate the platforms from each other. So it's going, you know, the PlayStation 4, they announced their Gaikai streaming capabilities, and that's really the killer aspect of the platform compared to any, like, oh, it's got a Cell processor and an NVIDIA graphics chip versus Xbox's unified memory or whatever on the current generation. It's really more of a software generation, both at the high end and at the micro console or the lower end level. They're different software in those different steps, but the hardware is much, much more similar to what it is for everybody else now.
But you, Tim, do you feel it's also the software which is going to be the big game changer?
Well, for development specifically, I feel like Microsoft's tool set and versus like Sony's tool sets specifically, they've gotten better. So looking at it from the idea of what tools are out there for developers to use, I think they're getting much better to where more and more people can actually start to use them. So it's kind of gone from a very niche market of developers that can only use these small tool sets into a larger, you know, some guy in his doing it as a hobby down in his basement. He can actually start to perform and get these games onto these consoles. And I think that's going to be a huge push.
Definitely. Well, one other thing I should probably throw out just for our listening audience that we mentioned off air before we start recording. None of us have used any tech, nor have we seen any specs from vendors on this technology. So we're probably in the dark more than actually some developers who are listening to this now who actually know the tech. So this is coming from the blind knowledge spot. Are either of you excited about like the possibilities with the Wii U, or are motion controls going to play a factor at all in the what games we're making?
So the Wii U is an interesting product because I think it's actually going to compete more with the micro consoles more than the big consoles. Because of the terms of the hardware, it's more along the lines of the games that you'll see on an Android device. You know, it's got the giant touch screen, so it's much easier to port that functionality. But I don't really see that the Wii U is going to be able to compete with the graphics capabilities of the next PlayStation and the next Xbox, and so you're going to see a lot less intentions of people porting games to it, and so it's really a separate market at that point, and it's more the lower end spectrum. It's going to be the main micro console, so to speak, rather than competing with the big three, in my opinion.
Well, for the Wii U, I think we have a lot of additional competition with the tablet market already, right? I mean, you've got your cell phones, and you have all those larger tablets that are already in the market, already getting games on them. So to try and catch up, I think it's going to be difficult for Nintendo to kind of get out of that and get people onto this new platform.
Oh, definitely. I'm still hoping Nintendo will decide to release some of their content on non-Nintendo platforms. And if they did that, it would be not par for the course. But I'd love to play Zelda on my phone. That would be so much fun. But they are right now a hardware maker. So, but that's interesting. I mean, you guys took two different directions on there. One, Brett, you say you think it's going to compete more with the actual micro consoles. Tim, you think it may compete more with the iPhone, iOS, and this is why it's so crazy, because you also have stuff coming out there like the ITV is getting better and better, and there have been rumors, you know, what if that thing had some controllers with it and you could go and put games on it? I mean, Apple already has a store. I mean, what developer wouldn't want to go and make something that, you know, already has, I think, a few hundred thousand people installed in their living rooms just so they can go and, you know, stream Netflix and listen to their iTunes music. There is a viable market there. And then at the same time, the Steam Box is coming out, and Valve has its store also. And, you know, if you were to win the lottery today, say a good sum of money, and you were just going to leave your job and start your own game company, you know, where would you personally want to go and do some development work? Do you see the biggest bang for the buck, particularly, let's say, from that funded indie perspective? Would you be targeting the GameStick or the Ouya, or would you hold off until an established player like Valve has the Steam Box released? Or do you still think, no, the sure bet with Sony or Microsoft in their latest consoles would be, what would be the first platform you'd want to target?
I think that the next generation of consoles is probably going to have a slightly slower ramp up, I'm talking the big consoles now, than the current generation did, just because I think their price point is going to be so high. So I wouldn't put all of my money initially into the PlayStation 4 or the next Xbox as a small developer, just because the amount of people who will have those right away is going to be so low. If you wanted to simply get market share, you would go or to the most number of devices, Android and iOS, destroy everything right now. In terms of sheer number, Wii has a lot of numbers out there, and you can, I guess Nintendo's not allowing more Wii games to be made. So really, I would either say the current PlayStation and Xbox, or Android and iOS.
How about you, Tim? If you had Timco out there, maker of awesome video games.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, personally, I'd like to go big or go home. I mean, if I'd won a large, substantial amount of money, right? I mean, that's let's go big. So, I mean, making a AAA title, that's definitely the way to go. But also having worked in kind of a smaller studio where we were just pushing out widgets. I mean, I worked for Sony Online Entertainment, and we were making card games. Not a lot of money being made, but enough to really keep that studio going, and it was always profitable.
Digital card games?
Or? Digital card games, yeah, exactly. So, you know, buying a digital pack of cards, how much money do you think you can make on that, right? So, I mean, it's kind of interesting where money really is. So if I'm building a game to just build a game because I've got a lot of money, sure, I want something that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But to kind of look where the market is going and try and anticipate how many people I could reach, I'd probably go with, let's say, Microsoft, right? Where their Windows 8 platform is really not only looking to target tablets, but they're also looking to target everyone on all different platforms. So going with the new Xbox, that looks like they're trying to create this platform that could potentially intermix between other platforms. So I'm liking where their vision is going.
It's interesting you brought up Microsoft, and I'm thinking Windows 8, because I'm confused. I don't know if you guys are confused. Like, I don't understand where Microsoft is going. You know, a friend of mine, coworker, has been teaching a course recently, and he decided at the beginning of the semester to use a good language, a good API for beginner students, and he picked Microsoft's XNA, which is a fantastic framework that's been existing for a while, but I haven't seen many stellar games reach the masses from it. I've seen a few stellar games exist, but I've heard that they disappear within the noise of the store. Now, the reason I'm not sure, because I actually have never pulled up the XNA store or the indie store on my Xbox. I actually don't know how to get to it.
They've made it harder and harder to get to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like when it was released, it was a little bit easier, and pretty much every update since then, it's become harder and harder to find, and it's not something Microsoft is really pushing anymore. With Windows Phone 7, when that came out, you had to use XNA, but they've essentially dropped that requirement, and now you can use native code on Windows Phone 8, and you can essentially use C++ and build libraries that are very more easily cross-compilable between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8.
In C++,
not using XNA.
See, and that's what's odd, too, is because my feeling is, talking to people who work at other studios, not just around Baltimore, but all over the country, is that C# is just awesome. They love it. It's mainly not for their main game engine, although I know a lot of people who are leveraging Unity, and they tend to use C# for Unity. But in larger studios, C# is usually the language of choice for tools. And I believe in Unreal, I think it's also used in the tools, which maybe that explains why so many studios everywhere are embracing it. And so I figure, you know, XNA being C# based, that Microsoft would continue and, you know, persist in building and refining it. But with it targeting Windows 8, that means what? The only options are C++ and HTML5?
I believe you can still use XNA on Windows Phone 8, but you're not required to use it.
Windows Phone?
Yes.
But what about just regular 8, like laptop.
You should be able to use the same stuff. I haven't looked at XNA in a while. But also, Sony last year came out with PlayStation Mobile, which is also C-sharp based, which is essentially their equivalent of XNA, which allows you to make games that are cross-compilable to PC, these PlayStation-branded Sony Android devices, and the PlayStation Vita.
Okay, so let's see what else we got here. We talked a little bit about, since we talked a little bit about Windows 8, I mentioned HTML5. Let's go to the web. So a lot of games are out on the web right now, and we have had technologies like Flash, which has enabled people to quickly deploy something on the web. And it's no secret, I love Flash. I think it's amazing. Flash, ActionScript 3 based Flash, ActionScript 2, which we use in the industry and many shops use in the industry, usually in conjunction with Autodesk Scaleform for UI, is sufficient, but it is not nearly as awesome as ActionScript 3. And I'm sad because the only thing I understand less than Microsoft's current strategy is Adobe's strategy with Flash. I personally love and hate Adobe. I mean, I use the products Lightroom, Photoshop, and I said I love Flash, but I don't know what they're doing with Flash. Do either of you guys follow Flash at all, or what's going on? No, yeah. You're shaking your heads. Yeah. You don't? Okay, well, we're sad. If I said Silverlight, do you guys follow? What was it?
Yep. Well, I don't really follow it too much. I mean, just knowing that it's part of Microsoft's kind of strategy to bring...
I don't know. I think Silverlight's going away.
I think so, too.
In terms... I think Microsoft's switching specifically to HTML5.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know what I could say. I could say anything I want about Flash, and you guys would have no opinion. You're just like... Or do you just want Flash to die?
No. I'm on board with the Flash boat, right? I mean, I've use Flash in the past, and I think it's actually a great platform to build things on. You've got a large audience who are already using it. There's a lot of good things to say about Flash.
I hate the Flash tool. I hate it with a passion.
Oh, the IDE?
Yeah.
Answer. Well, here, anyone listening, if you want to do coding, programming in Flash, bar none, the best thing out there is Flash Develop. It's a Windows-based program, but it's open source. It's written in C#. Which, I mean, funny enough, it's C#. There's a tool, an IDE. Unless you're trying to make something that's going to go and target an iPhone, in which case you want to actually purchase Adobe's own Flash Builder. Flash Develop apparently can even target Flash Builder. But when I'm teaching, that's what I have my students use. It's great. It's a lot like Visual Studio, which is a great development environment also. And I want to throw out some questions about Visual Studio and Sony and all that, but I probably shouldn't go down those lines.
No, that's probably...
Yeah, so that might get a little shady. Yeah, so we'll avoid that. Yeah, here's the big thing about Flash and C++. I mean, C++ is everywhere. It's prevalent in our industry. Adobe had this technology to take C and C++ and target the Flash VM with it. So you could take any of your C libraries and get it into Flash, which means you could take those C libraries and get it on the web, on any browser, even up on Linux. They then added the technology to target the GPU. By combining both of those, they actually were able to go and get Unreal and Quake and all these engines running in a web browser at 60 frames a second. Then they said, if you're a development house and you do turn both of these switches on in your program, we're going to charge you a few tens of thousands of dollars. And so a lot of Flash developers said, we're going to look at HTML5, or we're going to jump to Unity, or I'm going to leave the game industry and go into finance. You know, so, something like that. So just recently, Adobe realized how they weren't able to leverage that position to monetize Flash. They reversed their decision, which... makes sense. I mean, they have to earn money too. You know, they've got some great developers there. They have to pay them. So I understand where they're coming from, but I kind of felt like it was too late. Now a lot of good people have already left the Flash scene. I'm trying to figure out like where they went. Have you guys do you play any web games? Like, do you go to Kongregate or Newgrounds, or does anyone in your office send around Flash games anymore? Or did they used to? And have you found that occurring less and less, or is this something that you've never been a part of?
I used to play some games, I guess, when I was in college. on Newgrounds and people would send out stuff, but I would say I haven't seen a game passed around my office in the past couple of years.
Yeah, same here. I used to have a roommate that loved getting on Kongregate, and yeah, I'm not seeing much anymore either. Whether or not it's all the ideas have come out, or I don't know specifically what it is. Maybe it was just the shock value of some of the games that were on there. I mean, there's several different factors there.
Okay, and then related to this, you both have smartphones, right?
Yep.
A form of smartphone. Yep. So a lot of developers have said before they actually roll an app out onto their smartphone for people to buy in the store, iPhone store or the Android store or whatnot, they'll put out a free web-based version of the game, either a simpler version of the game or just one level or just some limited-based version of the game that then upsells the player to download the app and grab that. So how are you finding games to play when you're not going to the web and you're not seeing these free things? Notice you're a little bit different than normal consumers because you're developers, you're not players, but you are players as well as developers. So if you had to target other people like you, if you made a game, how would you go about doing that?
I don't really play games on my smartphone. When I first got my iPod Touch, which I guess was a second-gen iPod, I got some games for that and realized that all of them except for, I think, Battleheart were pretty bad, and so it kind of threw me off of that whole genre of games, that whole platform of games. I'm still one of the few people that have a PlayStation Vita and a 3DS and play those for mobile games rather than on my phone or my iPod because I get a better experience out of those. Even though they're a more expensive game, I just enjoy the tangible controls that I get on those devices.
How about you, Tim? Where do you get your games that you play on your smartphone?
Well, mostly the store. Unfortunately, just going into like the Play Games, you know, on an Android, going in and taking a look at the store, just seeing what the top games are kind of out there. So that's probably one aspect of it. Another aspect is definitely the socialized media, right? What are all my friends playing? What kind of excites them? Because obviously I have some attachment to them. They have similar interests, and it's really good to see what they're doing. So, I mean, word of mouth is huge.
What thoughts do you guys have on anything that we haven't hit about the next gen in terms of development? Are there any particular thoughts you have on motion controls? And we mentioned the Wii U, but the next level of the Kinects or the touch sensors and controls inside the PlayStation. Networking, for example, like do you foresee anything big on the horizon in terms of network games, crossovers between MMOs, which are played on PCs, versus what people are going to be doing on their consoles? Any predictions or things you would like to go and see or when you're working with these technologies?
I'm starting to get a little bit of a fear of the micro console and mobile space in terms of how fragmented the development is getting. When the iPhone first came out, for a while you had like one resolution you had to worry about. The new one was just slightly better performance, but now there's like seven different resolutions you have to worry about. All of the Android's devices can be crazy different resolutions and specs, and the market is getting a little bit more fragmented, and so I'm a little worried that a lot of the lesser experienced developers are going to be able to handle those markets going forward because of how broad things will be. And so that's a little bit of a... It's going to be interesting to see how many indies can actually stay in that space with how fragmented the market's going to be.
Well, so for me personally, I feel like the Wii U and the Kinect and some of these motion sensor games and how specific they are, they're gimmicky, right? In my opinion, they're definitely very gimmicky, which is why I don't feel like they've taken off and like really shown themselves yet. There's this robot, and I can't remember what the name of it was. I was sitting here trying to think of it. There's this particular robot where you can develop these programs for it. It's got sight. It has ways to process sound so that you can give it a voice command and have it do something. You know, there's a lot of these technologies that are being developed. and where the game industry is going. I mean, imagine actually interacting with something in the physical realm and, you know, give it bark this little robot commands and actually play a game with it, right? I mean, we kind of have dogs to play some games with, but to, you know, step up the intelligence level on something like that. I mean, all these little technologies are going to eventually come together and build something that's totally new. And that's kind of what I'm excited about. Even though the technology like the Wii U is not there, in my opinion, I mean, there's so much more that's out there.
Very good. Okay, well, that's about it we have for this installment of the Basement Game Dev Podcast. Do want to send some quick shout-outs to some people. Squiggy Yo, who's playing this on partyfmradio.net. Everyone at MAGFest for doing a great job last month, and we look forward to MAGFest 2014. We wish John Schaefer a good luck with his latest Kickstarter. I believe it's called At the Gates. And you can always hear John Schaefer's thoughts on game design by looking up the Game Design Roundtable on iTunes. And last but not least, go to Amazon and look up the Basement Game Dev Podcast if you want to help support us and get us some more equipment. Until then, we will keep borrowing from Horizon Church. Thank them for letting us use some of their extra mics and stands. And tune in a few weeks to the next episode. Till then, keep making games.